Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, everybody, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 53 for July 1st, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm here to guide you through this magical world of servers, networks, and everything connected. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Please check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. Please check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave us a voice message at 724-701-0550. That's 724-701-0550. We'd love to have you leave us a voice message here with your questions, concerns, or thoughts on these shows or ideas for future shows. You can also send me an email ideas for future shows or questions or comments. You can send those to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter as @technoman. Folks, I want to first start off this evening's show with an email message that I received. See, as I said, somebody followed along and they sent me an email to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And this email is from George. Jack, thanks so much for the podcast. I have listened to each episode and always learned something new each week. My question is, last week you talked about updates and building a test machine. Now, if we don't have any computers lying around, is there any way that I could test the updates before pushing them out? Well, George, thank you so much for the question and your kind words of the podcast. Now, what I would suggest that you do is build a virtual machine. I'm sure you've heard of virtual machines by now, and so many people associate a VM or a virtual machine with a server, but there are desktop solutions. You can either buy a commercial product such as VMware, or you can use a free product called VirtualBox. You can just do a Google search for that. And if I remember here, I'll get a link into the show notes for you for VirtualBox. But it is from Oracle. What you want to do is install a copy of Windows on that virtual machine, and then any software you want to test with your updates, load those on top of that virtual machine. Now, whenever there are updates available, simply fire up your VM and put the updates on it and then test the software. This is a great way that you can use your work machine as a test machine also. When you're done, all you have to do is simply close the virtual machine and then just save it on your desktop or save it, you know, wherever you want to save the virtual machine for the next round of updates. George, I hope this helps you, and I'm sure that question will help many other people out there with the same issue. And that's why we like to get these responses back, folks. We want to get these responses back for that reason, because you may help somebody else with your question. Also, George, thank you so much for the great question. I do really appreciate it. In the first part of this segment, I want to talk to you a little bit about a product that I came across, and it is called BitTorrent Sync. Now, I know a lot of you out there are already saying, Jack, we don't play with BitTorrent because you can download viruses on your computer and it can be really havoc and it can be awful. But the folks at BitTorrent, or whoever created BitTorrent, has created this great little program called BitTorrent Sync. What it allows you to do is kind of create your own personal Dropbox account or box or Google Drive, because it allows you to sync files, but you're not syncing them to the internet. You're simply syncing them to each machine where you load this software. So you install BitTorrent Sync on whatever computers you would like to sync your folders up with. It could be Windows, Macs, or there's a Linux version where you can load this on Linux. It will automatically install a sync folder into your actual username folder. So I'm talking there, that's on a Mac. So on Windows, if you go under users in your name, there will be a sync folder in there. Whatever files you'd like to sync up, you can simply add the files to that sync folder. If you right-click on it, it will give you a password or a key for that share. When you go to your next computer, you say, look, I want to pull up this particular file or this shared folder, and you would just simply add that passcode, and that share will then be synced over to your other computer. Here's the nice part of it. You can load this on as many computers as you want. Now, you set it up, as I said, with a passcode on the other computer. And what's really nice about this, if you want to set this up on a mobile device, you know, because one thing that Dropbox had for it, and one thing I've taught in my live sessions when I'm out talking or speaking to a large audience, is the way to sync files to your iPad or sync files to your iPhone, because sometimes we want to carry those files with us. We want to carry those around. Maybe you want to use those on a job. Maybe you need those for a client. And folks, this even works great if you're syncing folders and you're syncing them over to a client's computer. You can do some updates or work on something, and as soon as you hit save, you can call that client and say, look, it's in that folder I set up for you on your desktop. And then they'd be able to open up and that file would be there. So it works very nice for that also. All you got to do is if you right-click on the shared folder and click on mobile, it's going to bring up a PR code. I call it PR code. Some people call it the QR code or QRP codes or whatever the name of it is. It's a little scan code that you can scan with your phone. So you open the software up on your phone and you simply scan it. When you do that, that shared folder will show up on your mobile device and it will sync over. Once again, it's just a simple QR code, and the QR code will sync over to your actual mobile device. Now, I have found, I've done some testing. I thought, well, this is a great program. And I thought, you know, it's only going to work on my local area network because it doesn't really sync to the cloud. So how's it going to get to me if I'm somewhere else out on the road, if I'm working at a client's office and I want to sync up some files with my home computer, and I put them in there and I get home and they're not there? Folks, it works absolutely perfect on your LAN or over a internet connection. Even a public connection, it'll work fine. You don't have to worry about VPNs or anything back into your home computer. When you get home, it will simply be there. It works great. So once again, it's called BitTorrent Sync. And I'm going to have to make a note to myself here. Make link show notes. That way I'll put this link in the show notes so you can find out where to download the BitTorrent Sync. It's a wonderful free program. It says it's in beta right now, but don't let that scare you away because it works absolutely perfect. What we're going to talk about now is we're going to talk about something that you should have in your toolkit. If you do this for a living, and I know most of you listening to this show either do this as a consulting business, such as many of you know, I have a side consulting business. And I also have a full-time, director job, so you may be doing it for your company. You need to get this utility, burn it on a CD or a flash drive if you wish. You can do that. And it's just a fantastic utility we found. We've been using it every single day. It's wonderful. It is called Dave's Ultimate Boot CD. Now, you might have heard of it. Dave's Ultimate Boot CD. Now, Dave does take donations, so you can give donations to the Ultimate Boot CD, and I will have the link in the show notes for you for this. But it gives you a ton of utilities that you can use to fix computers, fix BIOSes, check CPUs, check memory, peripheral systems, just a ton of stuff. We're going to run through some of this stuff, and I'm going to tell you just scrolling through this list, probably 95% of this stuff is absolutely free. Now, let's go through some of these. Under the BIOS tab, and when you boot this thing up, it's going to be a DOS command. It is for Windows machines. It is for, you know, Intel or AMD machines. It's not to be used on a Mac, but it works absolutely perfect, and I'll tell you where we use it at. So under the BIOS tab, you got apostrophe BIOS, you got BIOS, you got Cosmo password. So if you don't know the password to get into the setup of the computer, you can find that password. Key disk, PC Cosmo cleaner, and wipe Cosmo. Now, let's go down here under CPU. CPU stress. If you're building a new computer and you want to stress it out and see, hey, what's that CPU doing? Is it going to heat up? It's a great little utility. CPU burn. Have you ever heard of people building a new machine saying, hey, I want to do a burn-in? That's exactly what this utility will do. Now, that one is under the GPL license. Most of these are freeware, but that's a GPL. Next one is CPU burn-in, CPU info, Intel optimized line pack benchmark. You can benchmark your computers. How many times do you want to do that? You build a computer for a client, you want to, you know, present them with some benchmarks and say, look, this is how the computer handles under this situation or that situation. You can benchmark that computer. Intel processor frequency ID. Now that's for P3s and below. And then you have Intel processor identification utility, P4 and above. How many times have you wanted to download software? You wanted to buy a upgrade for your computer and you wanted to know the identification of the processor, and you tear the case apart, of course, pull the processor, get a magnifying glass and read that. This utility does it for you. There is a mirror sheen prime test, another stress test, a stress CPU test, a system stability tester, and an x86 test. Under the hard drive boot management, we have boot manager, we have boot partition, edit bini, a graphical boot manager, cgen, mbr tool. Now if you're not familiar with mbr, that's the master boot record tool, the master boot record work, the PLOP boot manager, smart boot manager. And friends, if you've ever worked with your computers a lot and you've looked for free tools, these tools are available. What Dave did here with his Ultimate Boot CD is he brought all these utilities together and put on one boot CD, gave you a nice graphical, kind of a graphical ANSI interface, because remember, it's like a DOS interface, but it's wonderful. It works great. Super Grub Disk, Super Grub 2 Disk, XF Disk, Extended F Disk, XOSL for the Extended Operating System Loader. Under HDD, or hard drive, data recovery. How many times have anybody asked you, and I've made a good bit of money off of data recovery, because face it, you can send these out to these companies, and if it's a basic data recovery, they're still going to charge you the same premium prices. Some of these services we found have charged anywhere from $500 to $2,000 to recover your data, because they know if you have a client and they lost all their pictures and they're frantic, they want to get those back. Well, here's some great tools for you for data recovery. Offline NT password and register editor. That's just something under data recovery. PC login now, PC reg edit, photo REC. That's a great one right there. Photo recovery. That's what that's for. And test disk. Under device information and management, you got the Mac Store program to check your hard drive, ATAINF, ATA password tool, a lot of password crackers on this CD. Change the definition utility, disk check, disk info, ESFeet, feature tool, G smart control, smart UDM, EATA 100 for Seagate, UDMA utility, and another UDAM utility. These are for, looks like, Fuji disks. the Ultra ATA Manager for Western Digital, and Whittle 3 for Western Digital. Again, a great, great tool set. There is a ton of stuff in here under diagnosis. ATA Diagnostic Tool, Data Lifeguard Diagnostic for DOS Western Digital, the Drive Fitness Test for IBM and Hitachi hard drives, the ES Tool for Samsung, the ES Test, the CWS Scan for Gateway, HDAT2, H Utility for Samsung, MHDD32, PowerMax for Maxtor and Quantum Drives, SSMax for Maxtor and Quantum Drives, C Tools for DOS. Now, this is for Seagate and Maxtor. SH Diagnostic for Samsung. TAFT. This is the ATA Forensics Tool. Now, folks, let's talk about a little bit of hard drive disk cloning. You know, we always look for tools to clone our hard drives, right? If you're any kind of systems administrator, again, if you're any kind of systems administrator, you are cloning your hard drives. If you're one of these guys, and I met one of these guys about 10 years ago. Of course, he was fired and let go. But what happened was this guy would have a group of interns. And if you've never worked with interns before, it's our responsibility as technology directors, technology whatever you are, IT managers. When you get an intern in, it's your responsibility to teach that person our trade. When that person leaves you, they are leaving with the stamp on their forehead of your name that you taught them our trade. If you're one of these guys that get interns and they come in and you say, look, we are going to allow you to make me coffee. You can look over my shoulder when I type in Active Directory. Then don't get interns. That's a disservice. We are creating a service for new young college people, or I've had some older college people. I've had people that have been through tech school at the age of 65, and they always claim, of course, they're talking to me, maybe behind my back. I don't know what they're saying, but they always claim that they're learning something from me, and that's the stamp that I want to put on their forehead. Kind of one of those, you know, like trained by Jack, right? Or trained by Sam, or whoever you may be out there listening to this podcast. But anyway, he was let go, but he, from what I understand from his old interns, it came back to me and said, look, he never allowed us to clone. We wanted to use cloning tools and he wouldn't allow us. He said that wasn't really loading a computer. He would load Windows CD, then he would load the Office CD, then he would load whatever other software that the client or the people would need each on a CD. Folks, your total cost per hour of your job, your livelihood, and your worthiness to your business has decreased. And that's probably why he's let go. You can't do mass rollouts if you're loading computers that way. So disk cloning tools are number one, and they are in the top of my digital tool belt. And the one I use all the time is the first one in this list. It's called CloneZilla. If you've never used CloneZilla, I tell you what, it is a godsend. There is a way to run it over your network. There is a way to set it up so it'll do multicasting and actually, you know, do pixie boots and all that great stuff. But we use it as simply as a one-to-one cloning solution. You boot your computer with a flash drive. Then we have a little external hard drive. We plug it in. I think it's a 500 gigabyte hard drive. You can get a 1 terabyte, would be recommended. And you clone the machine over. And if you have clients out there and you set their machines up, if you have a client, clients will get into trouble. You know that. That's why they pay us. Somehow they get in trouble. You know, my computer's running slow. It's got a bunch of viruses on it. They will do silly things to their computer. If you walk in and have an image of all their machines, and usually it's only one image, right? Because all the machines are usually the same. You plug it in, you clone it, you rename it, and you walk away. You're good to go. And they're thrilled. You didn't take 4 days to reload their computer. The other ones I have not used, but I'm going to read these to you off this list. CopyWipe, ErasUS Disk Copy, G4U, HD Clone Free Edition, Part Merge, Partition Saving, and PC Inspector Clone Max. I haven't used any of those, so I don't know. I can't recommend or deny those. How about hard drive disk editing? Disk Editor, Diskman 4, Disk Spy Free Edition. It says personal use only. And PTS Disk Editor. Here's another tool that I use extensively, and you're going to hear about this later on in the show because we're going to talk about some disposal of old gear. And this is HDD hard drive. Again, under the hard drive menu. And this is called disk wiping. Folks, this is hands down the fastest, easiest utility I've ever used in my life. It's called Active Kill Disk Free Edition. Now, it does a one pass of zeros. So it does a CIA sweep. The CIA sweep is writing ones and zeros across your hard drive. Well, this does one pass of zeros. Naturally, you're going to say, Jack, wait, multiple passes are better. They are. But if you're just simply getting these computers ready to go to the Goodwill, one pass is probably good enough unless you're some kind of a, you know, financial institution or a medical institution. One pass is good. You can be sure that nobody's going to really recover that hard drive. And it is for Windows only, so the operating system has to be Windows, but it wipes it, and it's very, very fast. The next one is Copy Wipe. The next one is Derek's Boot and Nuke. And if you want a utility that's going to take you 9 days to zero a drive, use Boot and Nuke, because we used to use it. And that's kind of where I give it the thumbs down. It does a wonderful job, but make sure you have about 3 or 4 days to run it. Fuji Erase Utility, Hard Drive Erase, Hard Drive Shredder Free Edition, the MAXLLF for Mac Store Drives, PC Disk Eraser, PC Inspector, and SUtil for Samsung Drives. I'm just looking through here because I don't want to give you all these. We're going to go down here. And I'm going to let you read some of these yourself about installation, but I am going to go over partition management. Now, if you've never managed a partition before in a hard drive, then you probably are pretty young. Maybe you're new to this field. I don't even know if they teach us in many colleges anymore about partitioning hard drives, but it's something that you have to be aware of and something that we need to know how to do. And the reason I say is because big drives today, these big drives, these terabytes, these 4 terabytes, you know, 5 terabyte drives, these drives are wonderful drives, but we don't want to leave the whole drive sitting there to write to, because those files and those clusters get so tangled up and so put all over the place and just so in disarray. You want a partition manager, and you want to partition those drives down to smaller partitions. And I know a lot of you are saying, Jack, I don't like to have a C drive, a D drive, an E drive, an F drive. It makes better sense. When we load a computer, our job is, now this is my personal belief, this is how we do it. We partition a hard drive down. The C drive we'll leave at, you know, whatever minimum we need to put the operating system on, whatever we feel comfortable with. So that may in fact be maybe 100 meg. Or let's say 100 meg, 200 meg, 250, somewhere around there. Just enough to leave it some breathing room and load the operating system. And then on the next partition, the D drive is where we store all the data, the files, your working files, whatever you want to store on that computer, pictures or whatever. The belief is if something happens to the operating system and you have to reload the operating system, the D drive partition, as long as the hard drive is still intact and functional, the D drive itself should be fine. And I've found this to be 99 times that I've done this. The D drive or the other partition is fine. Something's corrupt on the operating system. Now, what that means is I can reload the operating system without fear of losing my D drive partition. Just watch the partition manager and make sure you say, look, I just want to load this on C. I want to format C. I don't want to format any other drive. You know, don't format the whole disk again, because then you're going to run into issues and you're going to lose those files. And again, if you ever feel uncomfortable doing this, back everything up on an external drive. Drives are cheap nowadays. You can buy a 1 terabyte, you know, portable drive for what, $100 maybe or less. Pick a couple up, throw those in your, you know, in your toolkit that you're going to take into the work where you're doing your client work, and maybe back it up. But 99 times out of 100, it's worked fine for me. Here's a couple tools in here that you can use and try out. And I would recommend you try these before you do this in production. Cute Partition Manager, Dr. Fix, FIPS, Free FDisk, Gparted, love it. It works great. I like Gparted. Part Info, Partition Resizer. This is a little tricky. It works very well on, I did this recently on a Mac. I had a lot of trouble with a Mac in a shop. And I called Apple and he said, well, just resize the partition and load, you know, OS 10 on the other partition and boot to that. And then you can wipe the other partition and move it back. And I was blown away how easy it is to do this on a Mac. On a Windows machine, you know, resizing partitions does get a little bit trickier. Be careful with it, but it can be done. Partition saving, PTDD Super FDisk, Rhenish Partition Manager, SPF Disk, and XF Disk, Extended F Disk. Those are freeware utilities you can use. There's other utilities in here for checking management stuff. Memory. You can look at the memory sims, the DIMMs. You can check out the speed of the memory. Then there's other stuff. Stuff for the kernel. There's Clam Scan Antivirus, FProp Antivirus. So if you need some antivirus tools to run against one of your machines and you want to do it at a low level outside of Windows, these are great tools. And if you've never learned how to do that, take the time and use these tools and scan your own computer. If you have a Windows machine, you know, fire this boot CD up and scan it off there and check it out there. But you'd be very, very happy that you did that. And it's just a nice way to clean the machine outside of Windows. And, you know, did you ever get one of those Windows machines that there's a million pop-ups, you can't stop them fast enough, you're trying to kill everything? Booting into safe mode sometimes helps you, sometimes doesn't. So this allows you to get in here and scan it without the Windows being open. It's going to scan the drive and hopefully get rid of some of that stuff for you. So it's just nice tools to have. Again, that was Clam Scan Antivirus. I haven't used that for years. And FProt, I used to use that, believe it or not, years ago on a floppy disk. I would boot to that on a floppy. We would capture the viruses and put them on another floppy. And then we had one guy in our group that really loved to examine viruses. And he would take those viruses and he would break those down and examine those and play around with them. So, you know, that was pretty cool to watch him do that stuff. There's tools in here for peripherals. CD-ROM identification, don't know why you would need that. A monitor test. There's a parallel port identification system, which we don't see very many parallel ports anymore. And a video memory stress test. That's huge, right? That's huge. Especially if you're building machines, and you want somebody says, hey, Fred, I want you to build me a game machine, please. Well, the video memory stress test is great to see what that video card's going to do for you. Then there's system stuff in here that you can play around with and try out. I recommend you use these tools first on your own computer. Like I said, just boot them up, look at them, see what they look like. Obviously not the disk wiping tools, but see what they look like and understand them. All right, now we got that done. I want to tell you about a product. And I actually told my wife I was going to tell you guys about this product, you guys and girls out there listening to the show. And she said, you know, it's not good to slam anybody. And I said, you know, that's true. Because an Amish person once said, keep your words short and sweet, because one day you may have to eat them. Huh. That's like a vote of something. That's like a vote of confidence for me. Keep your words short and sweet, because one day you might have to eat them. So I'm not going to get too in-depth with this. I'm just going to tell you my short story here, and then we're going to go on to our last segment of the show. I've used an antivirus for the past, let's say, 5 years called Vixera. Now, if you've never heard of Vixera, you're not going to find it anymore because Vixera sold out to another company. They sold out to a company called K7 Computing. Now, when we first bought K7 Computing, because they called, obviously, they wanted to finesse us and they wanted to talk to us and talk their product up and tell us how great it was. And when we bought K7 and when I pushed it to two of my clients and we put it in their systems and we loaded it, they were more than happy to take the checks and cash them. Now, if you try to get a hold of K7 Computing, they don't answer the phone. They won't return your emails. It seems like, I don't know if the company folded up and went away. The support is awful. My question to you folks out there, and you see this in the tech business, we see this. If you watch Tech News Daily, not Tech News Daily per se, that show, but if you follow Tech News each day of the week, and you watch these other companies, you get this all the time. So and so bought so and so. It happened with us with servers. I have a very bad luck with buying things, I guess. I bought two Sun servers, right? Sun rack-mounted servers. Buy one, get one free. I couldn't pass up the deal. It was amazing price. A month later, they sold out to who? Who owns Sun servers? Anybody out there know? I know you're saying it right now to the computer, right? Or your car radio. You're saying, Oracle, Jack. You're right. Oracle bought Sun servers. And I think when these companies buy their companies, they fire everybody. They're like, you're all gone now. We'll see you. Have a great life. And then they can't support it because their techs don't know Sun servers. And you call in, even though we paid for support, you call in, they don't want to support you. So my question to you is, why do companies allow other companies to buy them and then take their software or hardware down the crapper? Really, they go from a triple A rating to a triple F rating. It is absolutely horrible. And I know, I already know the answer to this, because money is the driving factor of all companies. But folks, let me tell you, you've been listening to Tips from the Server Room for a while. If I had somebody come to me, if somebody came to me for the sole purpose of destroying Tips from the Server Room and said, look, Jack, I want to give you $100,000 for the domain name, and I want to do the show. I don't want you doing the show anymore. And I knew that their base premise was to take this show and scrub it down the crapper so they can get their show more listeners or more views, I wouldn't do it. I told my wife, I have more of an obligation to share my knowledge with you, the person listening to this podcast, and, you know, get the feedback from you and emails back from you and be able to email. And I make those network connections with everybody in this business. I would rather do that than make the money. And I know maybe I'm one of the few people in the world that believe that, but I do believe that. If I knew that you wanted to buy Tips from the Server Room, you listening to the show because you thought it's a pretty decent show and the lineup's pretty good, and you wanted to build on it and take Tips from the Server Room to that higher level, to that super duper level, and you want to put it into a network of shows and you want it to be, you know, a daily show or something, and that's great. You took something I built and you're building upon it. But folks, these companies that buy other companies and take them down the crapper, we had this trouble, oh man, I bet you 8 years ago, same kind of deal. Be careful when you're buying stuff. We bought, what did we buy that time? We bought, oh, you know what? It was virtualization software. It wasn't VMware. And the company that sold to us is our normal distributor. That's our normal distributing company. They sold us the software. They knew that this company was getting sold. They knew that. And they didn't tell us. So in the end, what happened was, after threatening them with many lawsuits, and we still work with this company today. It's a great company, and I won't tell you who it is, but it's a great company that we buy from all the time. I'm very confident in them. I'm very confident in their salespeople's knowledge. But they didn't tell us. And anyway, what happened was, so the company bought this virtualization software. And when we first seen the software, when we did a webinar with them, they showed it was amazing. It was breathtaking. It worked so great. It was easy to move virtual machines from one server to another server. And it was a wonderful system. They sold it. And that company bought it for the main purpose of destroying it. They wanted to get rid of it because they wanted you to use their virtualization software. And I won't even tell you who bought it. But today, it's not VMware, but today it's a very predominant virtualization company. And it's not Microsoft, so I'll leave it at that. But they destroyed it. And we couldn't get any support. So we were sitting there with this, you know, I don't even know what the $20,000 might have been, $10,000 worth of software that was worthless. So, folks, we got all of our money back because I threatened lawsuits. I told them we wouldn't buy from them no more. And them to continue our business relationship and for us to keep buying from this vendor, they ate that. Now, I don't know if they ever got the money back from the company, but they ate it and they gave us a refund. And I gave them back their key codes and everybody was really, really happy. But I want to know that. Why do companies buy other companies and put them in the crapper outside of money? Folks, the last thing I want to talk to you tonight here is about creating an administrative install. This happened actually with me. I was working with one of our guys, and I told them about this, and they're like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I thought, if it's cool, if I'm talking to somebody in person, it's cool. I think I need to share it with you because maybe you'll think it's just as cool. Maybe you already do it, and I hope you do because it's going to save you a ton of time. Now, this is mainly used. I've mainly done this with Microsoft Office. I guess you can do it with other products. You'll have to read up on their help stuff and figure out if you can. But it's called an administrative install from a share. Now, I know you install most of your software from a shared file folder, and I hope you do. And if not, write into the show because I'm going to tell you how to do that because you're going to save a ton of time not getting that disk out. And guess what? On a server, it never seems like, if you have the software on a server, it never seems like it's scratched, doesn't read right, CD-ROM drive doesn't work, DVD drive's broken, because it's a file on your shared folders and it's easier to install. We can talk about that someday. But this makes the install process easier because you never need to find that damn key number, right? The key number. No matter how good of records we keep and no matter how good we try to track this stuff, every time you go to install Office, you go to install, you know, certain software in your company, you got to find the key number. So if you take the Office CD and put it in your computer, put it in your computer tray, and you do a, whatever your CD is, I just have D colon here in the notes, D colon slash setup space slash A. That's an administrative install, but you're building an MSI package is what you're doing. Now, you're going to be asked, first of all, where do you want to store this? I suggest you set up a shared file folder, give you writable and readable access to that shared file folder, and then give the users, just the normal users, you know, you can use like domain users, that group is fine, give them read access to that file folder. Not write access, you don't want them deleting anything or changing anything. Just to be able to read, and that's so we can push this package to their computer, and we know that them being logged in, they can read that folder, and it will push to them just fine. The next thing you're going to be asked for is a key number. And then your package, your MSI file, will be created in the directory you choose. Now, remember, we use network shares, and we give read permission to everyone. And like I said, use the domain users group. Don't put everybody's username in there. That's insane. And this will allow us to push that package out and have it install whenever a user requires access to that folder. Because there's a lot of ways we know we can do a network install and we can push packages out. I believe I talked about that in another show. But there's one way you can push this out that the icons, and we've used this, it's pretty cool. The icons will be on the desktop until they click on it. When they click on it, then it actually does like a background install and it puts the files on there pretty quickly and they can start using the product. But if they never use the product, it never installs on that hard drive. So that's pretty cool. The last thing we're going to talk about here, I thought that was the last thing, but I guess there's one more, just real quick. Disposing of old equipment for clients. I've had a client call me recently. We put a bunch of new computers and they said, look, Jack, how do we get rid of all this old stuff? What do we do with it? There's a lot of, you know, sensitive stuff on the hard drives. We're kind of worried about those. And there's a couple ways you can do this. The first thing is you can wipe the hard drive. Remember, I used Dave's Ultimate Boot CD and we used Active Kill Disk because it's fast. And if you want to use the other one called Boot Nuke, you can use that. It is a, I think it writes multiple passes or maybe three passes. The more ones and zeros you write across the drive, a hard drive, the better off it is. Think of that as a chalkboard is what I say. Is go to the chalkboard and write a bunch of stuff over a chalkboard. Take the eraser and go over it one time through the middle. You're gonna do a good job wiping some of it, right? But now go back and forth. Wipe, 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 wipe. The more we do ones and zeros, the harder it would ever be to recover anything. But most normal people in the world that sit at a computer, I know my daughter's not going to sit down at a computer and recover the hard drive once I wipe it. When I wipe it, it's just going to come up and say, empty hard drive. If you cannot wipe the hard drive, sometimes there's an issue with the drive, sometimes the CD tray won't work, something goes wrong. You should pull the hard drive out, and I recommend to go to a drill press, or you know, you can use a C clamp it to your workbench and drill some holes through those discs. I actually have taken hard drives apart and I folded the discs over and drilled holes again, and then I dispose of those discs. So it's very easy to do. Make sure the drives are not usable anymore, or use the, you know, the boot to zero the hard. I'd rather zero the hard drives, because then when I take it to Goodwill, they can recover it and they can sell that computer to somebody that needs a machine. And I think that's better for us as technologists to do that, because we want to spread the technology love, right? We want people to use those machines once again. Once you drill those hard drives and press them, they'll have to put a new drive in that computer, but you know the data's gone. So folks, I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. I know we touched on a bunch of different stuff there. Most times on these shows, I try to tend to stick with one subject. We did bounce around a lot tonight, but I feel pretty confident that you might have picked up something here. I hope you did. And I would hope that you email the show. Remember, jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And you can give us a call. Don't forget that phone number. I'd love to get voice messages in, because then I could play them on the show. And you know what that does, actually? That saves my voice a little bit. And again, that's 724-701-0550. Drop a voice message in there. I'd love to get that for you, and I would play it on the show. I want to thank everybody out there, once again, for signing up for the server courses. That helps these shows. It helps to make sure we have the cash flow for the bandwidth and everything we need to produce this stuff. You know how this stuff works. I'm not telling anybody that don't know, because I'm singing to the choir, right? Also, remember, if you don't have high-speed internet, you can order these server videos on DVD. You can simply go to jackstechcorner.com, click the pull-down menu, and order the DVD, and I will ship that out. Normally ship the next day. Friends, if you want to learn Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi, from install to administration, sign up for one of my online classes, and you can sign up at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Look for the online link at the top of the page. The courses are self-paced. You watch a video and you take a quiz. So many people email me and say, Jack, when does your course start? The moment that you sign up and pay for the course, you can start. You can finish it in a day. Probably not. There's too many videos. You can finish it maybe in a week, maybe a month, maybe 4 years. I don't care. Once you sign up, you are a permanent member of that course for refresher. Once you complete the course, I will mail you a certificate. Once again, sign up for that and take a look at those courses at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, I hope you have a great work week. If you didn't catch me live, maybe catch me next week on Spreaker. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com and click on the radio link at the top and refresh the page about 8 o'clock, that show will start automatically, and you will be able to sit with me live and chat along in the chat room. Folks, have a great work week. I'll be back here next Tuesday for another show. Take care, everybody. And keep those servers humming. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.